Court will proceed to the fourth case of the day, AA Sales and Associates versus County Seal. Mr. Rosenthal.
May it please the Court. My name is Jason Rosenthal, and I represent AA Sales. This is an appeal from a summary judgment ruling. This morning, I'd like to focus on the two key provisions at issue. The first is found in the third paragraph from the top of the contract and concerns pre-termination commissions. The district court made two errors with respect to pre-termination commissions. First, it ignored the low threshold that was tied to invoices paid by approved accounts.
Mr. Rosenthal, were there any sales to AutoZone of any products pre-termination?
Yes, there were, Your Honor.
Where in the record will we find that evidence?
Sales began in 2004, and I believe record document 43 at paragraphs. Give me one moment, Your Honor. Sales began in 2003, and I apologize. It's in the summary judgment fact statement, which, if I may, to save the court time, I'd like to come back to that and give you a second.
Sure.
Perhaps.
And while you're doing that, I was wondering where in the record we would find evidence that AutoZone was an approved account.
Again, that would be in the summary judgment fact statements. AutoZone was approved, and I will get you a cite for that.
Okay. Thank you.
With respect to post-termination commissions, well, let me back up for a moment. With respect to pre-termination commissions, the district court also erred in restricting the phrase all products to automotive brake parts. In paragraph 5 of the contract, which pertains to post-termination commissions, the district court's interpretation does not comport with the contract language requiring accounts sold by AA Sales.
So that would be, to your mind, that would be the evidence in the record that would show that during the nearly 20 years this contract was in place, that AA Sales earned commissions on things other than brake parts.
AA Sales was accounts. County Seal approved accounts, not specific product lines. And with respect to chassis parts, Mr. Salzman testified at his deposition that he was always authorized to call to represent County Seal with respect to all products.
Okay. In other words, I know that there's this issue of related products. But did AA Sales earn commissions for anything other than brake parts or related products?
Truck parts, which I guess there's a question as to whether or not that refers to related products, but certainly it goes beyond the scope of automotive brake parts.
Okay.
It seems to me the briefs, your brief represents that you were not instructed, precluded from dealing in chassis parts, and their brief says that you were. There seems to be a direct conflict of representations being made here.
Well, at most, there is a fact dispute as to whether County Seal authorized AA Sales to represent it with respect to chassis parts. However, we believe that the contract language, the starting point is the contract language, and what paragraph 3 refers to is all products. In drafting the contract, County Seal could not have used a broader term. Additionally, the district court relied on...
The original contract presumably was modified to some extent anyway, orally, and we don't know much about how it was modified.
Well, it was modified in the sense that accounts...
Modified as to customers. I don't know if it was modified as to product line.
We don't believe it was modified as to product line. And again, there is at most a fact dispute as to whether County Seal authorized Mr. Salzman to represent AA Sales with respect to chassis parts. Additionally, the facts...
I mean, there are emails in the record between your client and them about chassis, so I'm going to ask them about that. You're not supposed to be dealing in chassis. Why did they send you emails about chassis? But
That's correct, Your Honor. And it's not only emails about chassis parts. We were given a confidential plan regarding, not just regarding AutoZone, but a confidential plan regarding sales to AutoZone in Mexico of chassis parts. Later, we were asked to split commissions with respect to those sales. And even later, in 2005, we were given, and this is the president of ConiSeal, gave Mr. Saltzman sales figures in 2005. This is well after sales began in early 2004. And he was given sales figures not just for any sales, but sales, all sales to AutoZone, which included chassis sales to AutoZone stores in Mexico. Rather than following the contract language, the district court relied on a procuring cause rule. This court has implied that rule into contracts to help salespeople. AA Sales is not relying on that rule here. The only way this rule comes into play is if the contract demands it. In the Grubb-Ellis decision, Grubb-Ellis versus Bradley Real Estate Trust, which Judge Cudahy authored for the court, and Judge Flom, you joined in that opinion with Judge Ripple, the court stated that when an agency agreement expressly provides for the payment of a commission, without regard to the agent's role in the transaction, the procuring cause rule is irrelevant. The district court ignored that decision. The only reference to it is at page 7 of the opinion with a CF cite. ConiSeal contends that this would give AA Sales a reward. Well, if it was a reward, it was an exchange for the risks that AA Sales took for over a decade, working without a salary, without expense reimbursement, without health insurance, or any other benefits. Either way, though, it doesn't change the contract language. And in the district court's decision in Bass v. Banga, which this court affirmed without an opinion, the court noted, and this was a decision back in 1987, the same year that this contract was drafted, the court noted that contracts in which an agent receives a commission without regard to his or her role in procuring the sale, the procuring cause rule is irrelevant if the commission provides for the sales on other grounds. And the court noted that such contracts are far from unusual and that there was nothing remarkable about this type of contract. That court also stated, in looking at Illinois decisions, which governs this contract, that the Illinois case law makes no extra demand for clear and unmistakable language to displace the procuring cause rule.
Now, where in the record will we find evidence that ConiSeal paid commissions on accounts that were orally approved but not approved in writing?
The practice of paying commissions, approving accounts orally ceased shortly after the parties began their relationship, and again, if you give me a moment, Your Honor, if I can get back to you with the site on that during rebuttal, I'll take a moment to find that record evidence for you. Turning for a moment to pre-termination commissions. The termination here did not occur until 2006 at the earliest. Sales to AutoZone began as early as 2004, and while the district court didn't directly address pre-termination commissions, those damages are very much a significant component of AA Sales damages in this case. With respect to post-termination commissions, the language is not clear. Paragraph 3 refers to products. Paragraph 5 refers to accounts called on and sold by AA Sales. There are two requirements for a post-termination commission under this agreement. The first is that the account be called on by AA Sales. There's no dispute that over the course of approximately a decade, Mr. Saltzman made approximately 50 visits to AutoZone headquarters in Memphis, Tennessee. That's almost one visit every other month. He did that at his own dime with no expenses being reimbursed. The second requirement, of course, is that the account be sold by AA Sales. Because accounts cannot be sold or transferred in the sense of transferring ownership, sold here more logically means that the accounts were marketed to or solicited by AA Sales. Indeed, if sold means procuring cause, there would be no requirement that Mr. Saltzman, no need for the requirement that he call on the account. I don't suspect that County Seal would care very much whether Mr. Saltzman called on the account or not if procuring cause were the standard. That's also consistent with the Illinois Sales Representative Act, which defines a representative as one who contracts to solicit orders. That's at Section 1.4 of the statute, and that's precisely what Mr. Saltzman did here. The district court also looked to custom and usage evidence to support its ruling. The Illinois Sales Representative Act states that if the language is not clear, rather than jumping ahead to custom and usage, courts should first look to the party's course of dealing. The Illinois General Assembly, in enacting that statute, recognized a need to level the playing field for sales representatives who often had a difficult time collecting commissions. Here, the facts show that whatever County Seal believed the standard was, AA Sales met it. The president of County Seal told Mr. Saltzman he would get paid commissions. That's in the record at document 43, paragraph 33. County Seal's president gave Mr. Saltzman highly confidential information regarding AutoZone sales to Mexico. That's in the record at document 43, paragraph 27. And in November 2003, County Seal asked Mr. Saltzman to split commissions on chassis sales to AutoZone. That's in record document 43 at paragraph 29. And in December 2003, County Seal's president told Mr. Saltzman that AutoZone is ready to go with chassis in Mexico, but there was no order yet. That's in the record at document 43, paragraph 31. In 2005, County Seal's president provided Mr. Saltzman with sales information for all of those sales. If the court were to find that there were a procuring cause requirement, nonetheless, a reasonable jury could find that AA Sales met that standard based on the evidence. I see I'm going into my rebuttal time. Unless Your Honors have any further questions at this point, I'd like to save that time.
Thank you, Mr. Rosenfeld. Mr. Shapiro?
Mr. Shapiro, could I just start you out with a basic question that I have? In the briefs, you seem to have conceded that AA Sales earned commissions on items that could not be strictly described as brake parts during the 20 years of this contract.
No, we don't. We don't concede that. First, may it please the Court, I'm Robert E. Shapiro. We don't concede that, Your Honor. The only products that were discussed other than automotive brake parts in the brief are hydraulic brake parts for trucks. And there was some dispute as to whether those were things that County Seal had back in 1987 or not.
Well, here's my problem. Other than the pre-printed words on the letterhead, what supports a reading of the contract that limits it to brake parts? There's no limit in the rather broad all products language that is specifically typed into the contract.
Well, Your Honor, that's the starting point, but it's not the ending point. The question is, what did the parties intend in 1987 when they sat down to enter into this agreement? And the evidence is that not only does the agreement itself identify the business that AA Sales is to be a commissioned sales representative for, which is to say automotive brake parts, and only automotive brake parts. But all the circumstances surrounding entering...
That's not what the letter says.
It says all products. It doesn't say all lines of products. It doesn't say all types of products. The types of products that they're trying to get a commission on are completely different from automotive brake parts. I know they all sound the same.
I understand that. You're saying, though, that they were precluded from having anything to do with chassis.
Right. Well, that is true, but that happened down the road. Let me give you the chronology.
I'd like to, just in connection with what you're saying, there's an email in the record from Pagano to D. Lewis. It says, Dan, please send Jerry Saltzman at this above email address, the AutoZone plan you sent to them regarding Mexico. Jerry, this plan is highly confidential and is not to be shared with anyone. Now, it seems to me that they're being included in on a lot of products with that kind of message, aren't they?
Your Honor, you have to put that in the context of what actually occurred that's undisputed. What's undisputed is before that email went out, Mr. Saltzman participated in a meeting of all the County Seal sales representatives in Las Vegas, where it was announced for the first time 15 years after this agreement was entered into, that there was going to be an entirely new product line. And it is undisputed that at that conference, Mr. Pagano expressly told every sales representative, not just Mr. Salzman, but everyone, that this was a new product line and that nobody was authorized with respect to these products until an agreement was worked out with Mr. Pagano to do so. Those emails come after that announcement. And the fact of the matter is, there was never, to answer your question that you asked Mr. Rosenthal, there was never a modification of this agreement to include chassis products, because there was never any agreement reached between Mr. Pagano and Mr. Salzman with respect to these additional products. Their argument is not that the agreement was modified then, because there is no such evidence. Their argument is this means that chassis products must have been included all along. But the evidence
Why would it have to be modified, I guess?
Well, that's their argument. And the answer is that you have to look to the intent of the parties in 1987 when they actually entered into this agreement.
I mean, this is a summary judgment. I understand,
Your Honor. But but under the Celotex principles, once we come forward with evidence which says that the parties intended in 1987 to engage in a commission sales representative agreement with respect to automotive brake parts alone, and as I said, there's lots more evidence, which I'm happy to share with you, and that's all that they did, they have to come forward with actual evidence to show, because they're the ones that have the burden as the plaintiff, to show that they could convince a reasonable juror that in 1987 they intended to cover chassis products. And it's absurd. It's commercially absurd, and it's legally absurd.
Well, let me tell you what I think is absurd. The district court here relied on the letterhead on which the contract is typed in finding that it covered only brake parts. A quick look at the typeface on that contract reveals that the words Coniseal and the subheading automotive brake parts are pre-printed on the letterhead. The company's address and phone number are also pre-printed on the bottom of the page. And anyone can see that the contract itself was typed with a typewriter on a blank sheet of Coniseal letterhead. The words automotive brake parts are more a part of the contract than are the address and telephone number at the bottom of the page. Thus, it would certainly seem as if the contract is as broad as AA Sales represents.
But let me explain to you why that is not the case, Your Honor. I said there's much more evidence. This is merely part of the overall picture that existed in 1987. What did the parties talk about in 1987? That is set out in the record. Mr. Salzman agreed that the only thing they talked about was automotive brake parts. What did the parties talk about as possibly coming along subsequently? Possibly other products relating to automotive brake parts. There was never any discussion at all of chassis products. And in fact, Mr. Salzman, who admitted that he was a friend of Mr. Pagano's, which I also would like to mention in response to Judge Cudahy's question, Mr. Salzman was a friend of Mr. Pagano's, and he admitted that for 15 years after this agreement was entered into, there was not so much as a peep, a word, a hint, a whisper that there was going to be any other product line. So the question is, what did the parties intend in 1987? In light of the fact that the agreement specifies what Coniseal did, I'm not saying that that's the end of the story, and I don't think the district court judge was saying that either. But what was it that the parties identified as the business for which he was being made a commission sales representative? What did the parties talk about at the time? What did the parties anticipate at the time? And all the evidence is the same. The only evidence to the contrary, the only evidence that the plaintiff has brought up to try to say that products meant something other than the products that the parties were talking about at the time, is some internal subjective belief by Mr. Salzman that there might be some other products that he would get commissions on. By the way, there are no other products he ever got commissions on besides automotive brake parts in this record. And that he had some subjective belief. Now, this court has been very clear. The Empro case decided by Judge Easterbrook and others says when somebody is relying on a mere subjective belief as to the meaning of a contract, particularly if it's inconsistent with all the objective evidence, as it is here, when somebody is relying on that subjective belief cannot control because we use objective evidence of what it is that the parties intended. And here, all the evidence is that in 1987, these parties anticipated that Connie Seale's business, which was automotive brake parts, was the only thing for which Mr. Salzman was being retained as a commissioned sales
rep. The only problem with that argument is the contract says all products.
All products that Connie Seale had at that time. If Connie Seale didn't have a product or never anticipated having a product, it wasn't even a gleam in anybody's eye. What this is a kind of legal game of gotcha. When Connie Seale brings in another product that it's very explicit, another line of products that it's very explicit, are not covered by any of the commission sales agreements, and brings in another product, they're totally unrelated to anything that Mr. Salzman was agreed to, hired to be a commission sales representative. When they bring in that new product, they specifically say to all their commission sales representatives, this, by the way, is not within the realm of our agreements. And Mr. Salz, I heard Mr. Rosenthal admit there was no modification of this agreement to cover additional product lines. And, in fact, the only product lines that are covered, the only commercially reasonable and legally reasonable, legally foreseeable products that are covered by this agreement are automotive brake parts. But that's only the beginning of the problems here. There are all kinds of additional problems that prevent him from recovering here.
Connie Seale ask AA Sales if it would split commissions on autos?
Absolutely. There's an email about that. There's an attempt to try to reach an agreement with Mr. Salzman as to what's been done. There's no testimony that there was ever an agreement reached. There was never any modification of this agreement to cover those. Why was it happening? There are two reasons. Number one, as the evidence clearly shows, Mr. Pagano and Mr. Salzman were friends. Mr. Pagano always tried to help Mr. Salzman out. And number two, Mr. Salzman began to say that he thought that he should have that account. Right? It was not an argument under the 1987 agreement. It was just he thought he should have that account. Mr. Pagano went out of his way to try to reach agreement with Mr. Salzman. Mr. Salzman rejected any such
thing.
Did
Connie Seale offer to pay commissions on AutoZone sales?
To Mr. Salzman, there was a discussion about a potential split of commissions, but there was never any agreement.
You know, just on, as an aside, you refer to AutoZone U.S. and AutoZone Mexico as if they're two separate entities.
Well,
are they different corporations?
The testimony in the record is that AutoZone, which is a vast automobile company, has literally hundreds of different buyers. Hundreds of different buyers. The issue here is account. It doesn't say company. It doesn't say everybody within the company. It says account. Right? Now, one of your honors asked the question, was there ever any modification of the written requirement, and was there ever any express approval? First of all, Mr. Salzman testified in his deposition that the requirement for written approval was never modified. Then he changed his mind because he realized that he had undermined his own claim. But what was approved? What was approved in 1994, according to Mr. Salzman now, what was approved was that Mr. Salzman could call on AutoZone U.S. buyer personnel who were responsible for purchasing automotive brake parts in the United States. That's what he was approved to do.
Period.
That's the only account.
Period.
Period. There were no other products. There were no chassis products at that point.
Account is another word for customer, isn't it? I mean.
Well, yes, and the customer here was the buyer. That was Mr. Salzman's testimony, was the buyer. That doesn't say the company. Think about it. If you went to General Motors, what their position is that because he touched AutoZone with respect to automotive brake parts, that anything that Connie Seale introduces at any time in the future is automatically something that he gets paid commissions on.
Well,
it's commercially unreasonable, and it's legally indefensible because it's not foreseeable under the contract that the parties entered into. Sorry, Your Honor. So he was only approved. He was only the only the only thing.
You are the fastest gun in the Midwest. I can't even breathe. Oh my God! I think I forgot. Oh, this is terrible. Look.
I apologize, Your Honor.
Wouldn't the contract have said something like, "All products now"? All present products or all extant products or, I mean, that all products has such a vast meaning, doesn't it?
Only if you take it completely abstractly out of the context of what was done here. What was done here is a company that had automotive brake parts, that identified itself as having automotive brake parts, went to a commission sales representative and said, "We would like you to represent us with respect to all our products, all products, right?" The only products that he had were automotive brake parts and perhaps a few related things that all related to the braking portion of the car. Okay? And nobody, I mean, they might have put that in if there was any anticipation that there would be other products introduced subsequently. But the evidence in the record was there was never any discussion of it, no suggestion of it, and in fact, the products upon which they want to receive commissions were not in existence at that time and weren't a gleam in anybody's eye for 15 years subsequently.
It's such a sad case, really, because here you have these two fellows, you know, who are friends. I'm sure they're not friends anymore. But someone is, I mean, boy, there's going to have to be such a thorough review of the evidence on both sides.
Now, let me explain, Your Honor, that we've only touched on the first of three different problems with their recovery. One is what products. The second is what accounts. And as I mentioned to you, the only account he was ever approved to, and it was orally, the only account he was ever approved for were calling on buyers of automotive brake parts at AutoZone for the U.S. market. And there are no sales of those.
AutoZone got a zillion products.
Absolutely has a zillion
products. They don't have a separate buyer for every product line.
Apparently, they have hundreds of them because that was Mr. Salzman's testimony.
Well, maybe they do. That's unusual.
And there was absolutely no contact, no evidence of any contact or relationship between the chassis buyers and the brake part buyers. They were completely different. Mr. Salzman had never even heard of the people.
So that makes them a different account?
Absolutely, it makes it a different account. But there's a third problem, which is...
They don't pay their bill, so it's only one account, right?
Well, I don't know whether that's the case or not, because there was no testimony as to legally how it was set up. But in terms of who the customer was, it's a particular...
If you're talking about a delinquent account, it's AutoZone, not AutoZone Brakes and AutoZone...
That may be the case, Your Honor. Huh? That may be the case. Yeah. Let me explain. There's a third problem, if I may, Your Honor, notwithstanding. There's a third problem, which is that the agreement is absolutely explicit that the account actually has to be sold and sold by AA Sales. The post-termination payments are on accounts called upon and sold by AA Sales. And there is no evidence of any kind that AA Sales, whether it's chassis products or anything else, ever sold anything to AA Sales. And what you get from AA Sales is a kind of prolonged quibble. What they say is, well, sold doesn't really mean sold. Of course it means sold, and it's proved by the agreement. Because the agreement, first of all, distinguishes it from called upon, and it would make no sense to say sold means called upon if you already had called upon. And secondly, if you look how the word sold is used in the third paragraph, it makes it absolutely clear that one gets a commission only upon an invoice being issued and paid. So sold in this agreement clearly means sold in the sense of an actual transaction. And it is absolutely beyond dispute that Mr. Salzman never sold anything to anybody at AutoZone ever. It just never happened. Hey, and then there's
I'm going to have to ask you to conclude. Well, you can finish that remark. But
I was just going to say, they try to make a distinction between the third and the fifth provision, saying it says by AA sales. This is an argument they did not make in the district court. But in any event, it's incorrect, because the reason it doesn't say by AA sales in paragraph 3 is that in that context, they are still an existing representative and have an exclusive, and it couldn't have been sold by anybody else. So clearly it means sold by AA sales. In sum, Your Honor, what they're asking for is a commercially unreasonable result. The result that they want is that Mr. Salzman, who was hired for one and only one purpose with respect to a very narrow range of products, with respect to a very narrow account, and got paid only a commission, which is to say upon a sale transaction, he wants to get paid on other transactions with which he had absolutely nothing to do, with products he was never authorized to sell, to a portion of AutoZone he never called upon and was never authorized to sell to. And under those circumstances, he needs to come forward under the Celotex rule with some evidence to show that.
Trying to be generous, I don't want to cut you off, but...
Thank you.
All right. Mr. Rosenthal.
Thank you, Mr. Shapiro.
Thank you. Your Honors, I'd like to begin with a couple of quick record sites. Your Honor asked about approval, oral approval for accounts. In the record at document 43, paragraph 10, pertains to oral approval. There's no specified date that I could find in the record, but it began sometime after the contract was signed in 1987. In record document 43 at paragraph 20 refers to AutoZone being verbally approved. And in that same document, record document 43, paragraph 28, refers to County Seal sales to AutoZone beginning in 2003. There's actually a fact dispute as to whether they started in 03 or 04. And at paragraph 40 refers to County Seal not issuing any purported termination notice until sometime in 2006 at the earliest. And in record document 41 at paragraph 13, there's evidence regarding County Seal's sale of hydraulic brake parts for light trucks.
Now, you understand, Mr. Rosenthal, that this case, certainly for me sitting up here, sounds like Rashomon. You may be too young to remember Rashomon, but go and look it up.
I've heard the term, Your Honor.
What about Mr. Shapiro's last statements, the very last statements that he made?
I think those last statements, if I recall correctly, related to this issue of procuring cause. And first, pre-termination, the contract is unambiguous. Paragraph 3 refers to products sold. The sentence is in the passive voice. The actor, the one who must be doing the selling, is not identified, and it's irrelevant.
But did Mr. Salzman sell these things? Did he call on AutoZone to sell these things?
That is undisputed, Your Honor. He made 50 visits down to Memphis, Tennessee, specifically to meet with AutoZone and specifically to discuss County Seal. And the nature of the manufacturer's representative business is such that manufacturer's representatives are a spokesperson for the company. It takes a long time to land large accounts, and one of the primary objectives of a sales rep is to introduce the company, not just specific products. There's hundreds of products at issue, but to address
evidence of the sweep of the presentations that he made beyond the brake parts meetings? Or is it you're just saying he went there as a general County Seal representative?
Well, yes, in large extent, Your Honor, that is correct, because part of, and there is evidence in the record.
What is correct in large extent?
That Mr. Salzman went to AutoZone not just to talk about specific products, but to talk about County Seal.
Well,
the company.
What is the evidence of that?
In document, record document 43, and I'm sorry, I believe it's document 43, which is in response to our fact statement, in response to response to their fact statement on summary judgment, there is evidence that accounts take a long time to land, and part of the sales representative's job is to introduce the company, not necessarily talk about this ball bearing or that specific part, but to introduce the company.
So as the company morphs, you're saying that it would include anything at any time.
It would.
Connie Seal went into the real estate business along with the automotive parts business. He would be there representing their real estate interests as well.
Well, Your Honor, the contract refers to all products. There may be
they went into the ice cream business. You named the product. I'm just trying to get a sense of what was.
I suppose you got to talk about other things besides products. They got to talk about promptness of delivery, and they've got a big enough inventory to service AutoZone and so forth.
Those are all issues, and it was not just the specific products, but the company, that it's a reputable company. It's been around a long time. But to answer your question, Judge Flom, about whether it would encompass ice cream, I don't know that I would go that far. But what I will say is one of the goals of this relationship was to grow the company and expand its business.
Let me ask you this. Let's take, as we should, Mr. Saltzman's testimony in an interpretive sense. Has AA presented anything with regard to industry practice or industry publications which would indicate that after an initial agreement to represent the only product produced, that as products come online, that is the generally accepted understanding that the expansion beyond the initial and perhaps in this case sole product is to be considered. Was that offered? Is that the industry practice? I just don't know.
Mr. Saltzman testified at his deposition that it would be illogical for a company to restrict the product lines on which a sales representative would call. The goal of a sales representative is to generate business and to get the company known. So it wouldn't make sense for him to restrict his discussions to a single product. He also testified that in the business, that when you're authorized to call on an account, you're authorized to represent that account with respect to all of its products.
No, I appreciate that's his view. I'm just trying to find whether a reasonable jury would, based on that, come to the conclusion that was the interpretation. I'm just saying, is Mr. Saltzman's interpretation of a manufacturer's representative's the position he represents, was it anything offered other than Mr. Saltzman's? And he may be expert in that field because of his years of service. I'm not questioning that. But it is to a degree obviously self-serving.
There is, to answer your question directly, there is no evidence of industry standard that comes from any particular rules, publications, anything other than Mr. Saltzman's or Mr. Pagano's testimony in this case. That would be it.
All right.
Unless Your Honors have any further questions, we'd ask that the Court reverse the summary judgment and remand the case for trial.
Remind me of how much you believe is owed Mr. Saltzman.
Well, Your Honor, with respect to pre-termination commissions, sales to AutoZone from 2003-2004 through 2006 totaled over a couple of $1 million. His percentage of that would be 3%. We had some information on sales data through 2006, but obviously we don't have all the information yet as to post-termination commissions, but I suspect that the sales continue in those approximate amounts.
All right. Thank you.
Your Honors.
Thanks
Thank
to all
you.
Counsel.
Thank you.
Case is taken under advisement.